I decided I needed to learn how to shoot left-handed because I had a dominant left eye.
Ah.
So I had Winnick make me a special stock left-handed, and I'm 6'5", so, you know, a normal shotgun just doesn't fit me left-handed. And I taught myself how to, went to the St. Louis Skeet and Trap, and I learned how to shoot skeet, and then I started shooting sporting clays and started shooting ducks, and I just fell in love with the hunting. And
camel boots on my feet, bow in my hand, walking in the early dawn to climb up in my stand.
Redbone, what would you say if I could tell you that you could kill a buck on a certain day?
I would say you're crazy. There's no way to predict how the bucks are going to move.
Well, you're wrong. There's a new camera out called Wise Eye Technologies. These guys can predict the actual deer movement, exact time that a deer is going to come through.
Really? Wise Eye Technology?
This camera has 5-megapixel pictures, has a GPS system built inside, and it's an experience using this camera. It collects data and tells you the movement, wind direction, everything.
On a camera?
On a camera. WiseEyeTechnologies.com.
And how do I find out more information about these guys?
You go to WiseEyeSmartCam.com. I'm using them. You should, too. Make your hunt easier. Use WiseEye.
WiseEye Technologies presents Welcome to American Roots Outdoors. I am calling via phone from Ava, Missouri, at Bucks and Spurs Guest Ranch, and where I'm holding a turkey camp this spring here in southern Missouri. And my special guest today, turkey hunt with me, is Mr. Jack Whittle. He may come in here in a minute and talk a little bit about his hunt today, but here it is, the third day of turkey season as we're recording here on Wednesday, and everything will be distributed and aired this weekend to all the 9 AM FM networks. Mike Crace is in the studio, and so is Wayne Locke.
Yep. Yeah, we're here, you're there, you're having more fun than we are.
Yeah. You know what I've always said, when you make your job work, it's not fun.
Right.
So when you can find something that you can turn into a hobby and fun, it's not work. So it doesn't bother you to exert yourself a little more.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So third day of season, lots of turkeys hitting the ground, guys, everywhere. I'm getting my phones blowed up with everybody killing turkeys with our American Roots turkey calls.
Yeah, so you can't go and scroll 3 posts without seeing someone post another picture of a turkey they got.
Yeah,
of success out there.
Yeah, and does that surprise you? I mean, this early in the season?
Well, I think I hear a lot of people saying, especially around my house, they're hinned up and they're not gobbling. Now, I'm further west of my house, about 80 miles, and these turkeys have gobbled good. You know, the first morning of season, I took Richard Kraft, the owner of Jelco Outdoors, and he shot a nice gobbler, a 4-year-old, probably 10-inch beard, 23 pounds. Hmm. And this turkey did not have a hen with him.
Hmm.
He did not have a hen. And the second day, I went by myself, and I called the gobblers as across the Beaver Creek on this property here, and they flew across the river, and one of the gobblers broke and left the hens and the other gobblers and come to me, and I missed yesterday at 30 steps.
Oh.
You let him get too close again. You let him get too close again, Alex, with those apex.
Well, I think I did. I think, you know, I hit a limb. I hit a limb of the barbed wire that he was coming through a gate to the decoy, and the shot looked like it hit the ground and to the right of him. But anyway, today, third day, I called a turkey in right off the bat for Mr. Jack Whittle that come down the gravel bar. That's the first turkey I've ever filmed on a gravel bar that was killed. I'm sorry, missed or shot at that I had on film. It's pretty funny. It's live on Facebook. Then after that, we worked another turkey up on the hill from us where we missed. And Mr. Huff said, hey, I've seen 2 gobblers up here in this area. So we went up there. We was going to go down to the river, other end of the river, and look. And we pulled around the curve, and there was 2 gobblers in the road about 200 yards. So we just shut the side-by-side off and let everything calm down, walked down there to where we saw them and hit one call, and here they come and killed him inside of 2 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Now, that's an ideal turkey hunt right there.
Yes, and tell you what, Mr. Jack, this makes his 5th turkey, I believe, he killed.
Yep, that's my fifth one. But this one's the biggest one. This is a monster. I bet he weighs 25 pounds.
Oh, he's wow. a big one.
Nice.
Yeah.
Got two beards on him.
Now, Jack, tell everybody about yourself real quick.
Oh, I grew up in the drywall and plastering business in St. Louis. I hung lots of drywall. I had a lot of people hanging drywall, building casinos and federal courts buildings and everything.
Hospitals.
Did a lot of hospitals in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I did for a living. I'm the fourth generation. My son's the fifth. Been around since 1902, the drywall business. Niehaus Construction was the name of it.
Okay. I can tell after hearing you talk that you're from St. Louis. You've got that St. Louis accent.
He does.
Highway party. Yeah. Potato. Yeah, I know.
Well, I grew up in St. Louis too, but I left there about 44 years ago. So I've lost the St. Louis accent over here.
Well, I don't know. I was born in East St. Louis, so.
Oh, really?
It's a little scary, but.
Well, actually, I actually grew up in Cahokia.
Okay, well, I'm 76 years old this week.
Wow. So oh, happy birthday.
Just had my second hip put in.
And he fell off the mountain on me twice this morning in the mud.
Oh, no.
I thought, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? We backed out. We didn't, did we?
No, we did okay, though. I just got back up, got a little mud on my butt.
And laughed about it. That's a tough 76-year-old, guys.
That is. Well, that's growing up in East St. Louis. It'll make you tough.
Yeah.
I can tell you that right now.
So what I want to do, talk about the Cardinals real quick and sports, then we're going to go to a break. But what's Cardinals doing, Redbone?
Well, we're recording on Wednesday. They play the A's, looking for the sweep of the series. They're 9-9 going into today's game. So they're starting to pick it up a little bit. And, you know, I think they're going to be okay as the season goes on. They're still in last place in the Central Division, but everybody else in the division is above 500. But those schedules will equal out as time goes on. Cardinals are they're doing just fine. Did want to say congratulations to some teams that are within our listing area, Alex, that are playing high school baseball that are state ranked. And yeah. I'll start over in Southeast Missouri. If you folks over there in the Class 1, you've got Oran ranked number 4, and that's it in the Class 1. Class 2, Portageville ranked number 3, Mansfield right there just north of Ava ranked number 5. Greenville over in East Central Missouri, ranked number 9 in Class 2. In the Class 3, from the East Central, Valley Catholic is number 1. Licking is number 2. And Stratford at number 9 in Class 3. And switching over to Class 4, Rogersville, told you last week, number 1. And let's see here who else might be in the area. That's it from the area in Class 4. In Class 5, Willard is number 1. West Plains, told you about the Zizzers. They finally got beat last night. They are 17-1. And West Plains now ranked number 4 in the state in Class 5. And in Class 6, I think that's it for the region. So anyway, congratulations to those teams. And softball continues, and it's just a crazy season in softball.
Yes, in baseball, yeah. So what about the girls' softball teams? What teams are really standing out now, Redbone?
Yeah, I really don't know because everybody keeps beating everybody, and it's just it's just crazy. Thayer beat Liberty the other day. I don't remember the final, but it was by the 10-run rule in 5 innings. And I told you last week Thayer beat Alton. Well, Alton beat Van Buren, and then last night, Van Buren holds on to beat Thayer 4-3.
Everybody just keeps going back and forth. Yeah,
just going back and forth the same way with Ava and Willow Springs and Mountain Grove and Houston. All these teams just keep beating up on each other, and there's really no rhyme or reason. It's really a crazy season in our part of the world in girls softball.
Yes. Well, I tell you what, we got some good athletes in our areas, all of our listening areas. Mr. Cecil Huff, the owner of the property, just walked up here with us. Cecil,
I want to thank you for letting us come and hunt your place here. And this Bucks and Spurs is quite the place. We got about 30 seconds left before we go to another segment. But we're going to talk to Cecil Huff when we come back about Bucks and Spurs and about this guest ranch and about the abundance of wildlife. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more American Roots Outdoors right after this.
Hey, everybody. This is Michael Waddy with Bone Collector, and you're listening to my buddy Alex Rutledge on American Roots Outdoors, man. Don't miss an episode.
Hunting off the farm, wishing on some luck. I've been on a big boy for a while, like a load him in the back of my truck. We can take it to a holler.
Hey, turkey hunters, this is Alex Rutledge. Have you heard about Apex Ammunition? If you haven't, they are American-owned, American-made, made one at a time, hand-loaded. These turkey loads will give you the confidence that you need to close the deal on that old Hook Daddy Longbeard gobbler. For more information, go to www.apexammunition.com.
Across the creek of a big old hill, year after year, got my hunting gear.
Legacy Farmland Specialist LLC presents Welcome Back to American Roots Outdoors. We are calling via phone from the Bucks and Spurs Guest Ranch just south of Ava, Missouri. And joining us, along with Mr. Jack Whittle, our guest hunter, that shot his fifth gobbler today with us. He's 76 years young, and he is excited. And joining us is also Mr. Cecil Huff, the owner of the Bucks and Spurs Guest Ranch. Cecil, tell us about your American roots, the Huff family, here in this area.
Well, the Huffs owned land up and down Spring Creek and owned it for the third generation now. Bucks and Spurs, we started it actually as a hunting ranch, but soon found out we needed more than 3 weeks a year of hunting. But
to make it work.
Yeah. Bucks was for the bucking horses and buck deer, and Spurs is for the spurring horses, and spurs on turkey. So that's how we come up with the name. We've been blessed with 23 years of serving the public on this guest ranch, and we've entertained people from all over the world, from 16 different countries. And we had an internship program that we used to teach people, and predominantly people from Europe, because they have to pay to get the training and be licensed to train horses. So we traded with them their labor, and I'd teach them how to start young horses and load them in a trailer.
And so, Cecil, you're a horseman.
I've been accused of being a horse whisperer once or twice, yeah.
So tell me, Cecil, these guys are chomping at the bit right now, Wayne and my co-host and Redbone Mike Trace, asked you questions. So the Huff family, when they come over here, back to your roots, American roots, what year did they come over into America, do you know?
Not for sure, but I'd say around 1860, 1870s.
So your family, again, has owned a lot of property here along Spring River. And the creek that runs along, is that Beaver Creek or is that Spring?
It's actually called Big Beaver. When Spring Creek dumps into it, it's called Beaver above, and below Spring Creek, kind of, it's called Big Beaver.
Yeah,
and we run close to 2 miles of river frontage on this ranch.
Wow.
And it's beautiful to look at and participate, whether you're swimming, fishing, or tubing.
Well, I do know this. It's got an abundance of deer and turkey. And Jack Whittle says, oh, my gosh, this place has got all turkey. You said that down there a while ago.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's beautiful. But if you've never seen this ranch, everybody's listening all over the world. We're in 19 countries, by the way, Mr. Huff. And we got 9 AM FM stations this show airs on. As people need to come and see this farm. It's for sale, by the way.
Yes.
It is. It's for sale. Talk about that.
Well, after operating it for 23 years as a guest ranch, we've decided we would like to slow down a little. So we're going to offer the majority of the ranch for sale, retain some 50 acres or so and some buildings. But it's a property that I guarantee you, when people see it, they'll fall in love with it.
Well, I promise, if I may interrupt, the beautiful valleys, Redbone Wayne, new wheat planted wheat fields, clover everywhere, hundreds of black Angus cattle in the fields. They've got a black Angus operation. Talk about that a little bit and your horse business.
Well, the Angus operation, my wife always wanted us to get some Angus, and I finally give in about 20 years ago. And it's been one of the best things we've done because the Angus breed has been very efficient at branding their product as tasty, tender meat, and we've bred for tenderness in the last 10 years. And we've done everything from natural breeding to embryo transfer. We've actually had some embryos that's in we sent to Belgium and Spain, and those guys have taken it and expanded their operation. One of the guys from Belgium was had a high-end restaurant, and he says, I've been buying the ribeye from Tyson's, and I don't like them. And I looked at your data, and I think I'll just buy your embryos and produce my own. And I thought, yeah, sure you will.
Yeah.
8 years later, he's taken the embryo, sold two bulls to the European stud company, and furnished his own operation.
You know, hillbilly, Navin, Missouri, has got bloodline in his embryos over in Europe, Redbone, Wayne.
Yeah, and that's fantastic. And there's a lot of that that goes on all over the world with different breeders. You know, something you didn't mention, how many acres is the ranch?
There's 584 acres left to sell.
All right, so somebody out there listening wants to get in your business.
Go ahead. You got a question. I'm sorry for interrupting. Here, go ahead.
I was just going to say, that's a really good-sized ranch for somebody that's looking to get into the business.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we've been setting record high prices for hamburger and beef.
Yeah, I was talking to a cattleman yesterday. Said prices are the best they've been in a long, long time right now. So it sounds like kind of a turnkey operation for somebody, Alex.
Oh, it is, Redbone. If you've seen the log cabin we're staying in, the guest house where the hunters stay, and it's absolutely beautiful. It's got a big suite at one end, then it's got a bunk room that sleeps three, and the other end it's got a showers, microwave, refrigerators. It's absolutely beautiful. And Mr. Cecil here is a first-class gentleman, very classy guy. And it's pretty cool how I got to meet Mr. Cecil. We'll talk about that after we get back from this break. I know we got a break coming up here any second, but we've heard a total of probably half a dozen gobblers today, would you say?
Oh, every bit of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were talking to us. They were talking and gobbling. And,
He's smiling ear to ear. Y'all see his smile is from these ears.
You can tell from the tone of his voice he's smiling.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, hearing that many turkeys, I mean, there aren't many turkeys in East St. Louis, Illinois.
Right.
I can understand why.
Well, guys, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're talking again with Mr. Jack Whittle, our special guest turkey hunter, and my good friend, Mr. Cecil Huff. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more American Roots Outdoors right after this.
Hey, y'all, it's Tyler Farr, and you're listening to my good buddy, Mr. Alex Rutledge, on American Roots Outdoors.
In my old pair of hunting boots, passed on down, planted deep in the ground, around your heart, so you never gotta worry what the wind might...
Hey, guys, it's food plot planting time here in the Ozarks and all across the country. What are you planting this year, Wayne?
I'm going to put some smorgasbord in with a whole lot of clover.
You're going to put some extra clover in it.
What? Smorgasbord? What is smorgasbord?
Man, it is a variety of annuals and perennials that'll get you through fall time, winter time, and all the way into spring.
It's awesome. You want to plant healthier food plots to track all kinds of game? Go to www.eagleseed.com. It's a smorgasbord. You know, we all get tired of certain things. The smorgasbord has everything. Your deer will love it. Eagleseed.com.
American Roots.
Hornady Ammunition presents. Welcome back to American Roots Outdoors, guys. We are in Ava, Missouri, south of Ava, Douglas County, at Bucks and Spurs Guest Ranch.
Again, with me is Mr. Jack Whittle from St. Louis, Missouri, our successful turkey hunter. He's only 76 years young, and Mr. Cecil's only 73 years young. And we was just talking with Cecil about his horsemanship. And we'll learn more about that. But before we get back into horsemanship, let's talk about your property here. How many goblin turkeys would you guesstimate that could possibly be on this farm? Just guessing.
I'd say 30 at least.
Yeah. They all ain't goblin because a lot of them's hen up.
A lot of hens. We had a really good hatch last year, this year. So that's really helped us to build the population.
There's one just gobbled there. Did you hear it? Tame turkey. Yep, Cecil's got a big old broad breast out there, his son does in the background. So talk about your farm. What are some of the things that you do to help the wildlife, or you plant for them? And before we go any further, I want to say that how I met Cecil was through my good friend Cody Huff, the Bassmasters Elite Fisherman. Cody and I are good friends, and he said, man, my uncle's thinking about selling his property. You need to go meet my uncle. So we got to talking and ended up working out some, running some hunts together up here to help him supplement some of his income. So here we are. We've become good friends, and that's how we come about becoming friends. So how many ponds, spring-fed ponds, is on this property?
This regular pond is a four, and then we have, of course, 2 miles of river frontage.
Yeah. Well, some of those ponds look spring-fed that I saw.
Well, they would be when wet weather springs.
Oh, wet weather spring, yeah. That's so clear and looks cold-looking.
Yeah.
So how many acres of timber is on this 500 and some acres? If you was to guess.
I'd say close to 200.
About 40% of it. Well, the terrain here is up and down, and the fields are down a real pretty valley. It's pretty neat, Wayne Redbone. As you drive from the barn along a bluff, the river's down below it, and they got what they call the long field planted with wheat. Looks like about, 40 acres?
Yeah, well, there's close to 50 acres total between the two bottoms.
Yeah.
And I've seen times when you couldn't walk across those bottoms without stepping on some turkey droppings or some buck doe droppings.
You know, Alex, I was thinking with that river and all those all the water from them ponds and that, there's got to be some waterfowl looking to hunker down there and take a break.
Well, they do. And we saw wood ducks today, didn't we, Jack?
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
There were geese last week, a pair looking for a place to nest.
Yeah.
Oh, so, really? Some geese.
Geese come in here, too. Geese, ducks. So this farm's got turkey, deer, ducks, and geese occasionally.
No geese come down here? Occasionally you'll see them, yeah. That's
wow.
Pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah. Now, we're not far from Bull Shoals Lake. How far are we?
Oh, that'd be about a 45-minute drive.
Okay. What's the nearest lake, Bull Shoals or North Fork?
Well, you got Taneycomo.
How close is Taneycomo?
Well, you can probably get it in 45 minutes, too.
Yeah, I think
all these lakes are right here close, guys.
Yeah, Table Rock wouldn't be very far either.
Stockton's probably pretty close, too, isn't it? No, it's you got to go above Springfield to get into Stockton. All right.
Yeah, I was going to say Table Rock is probably pretty close. I mean, it's just on the other side of Taneycomo.
Yeah, that's how Taneycomo turns into a trout lake.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Table Rock dumps out of the bottom of the dam instead of the top.
Right, rather than
I'm changing subject, and I apologize for we go to break, but I want you to think about this for the next segment. What's the most turkeys you've ever seen in one group here that wintered in here? Don't answer it.
I got a story.
Yeah, you got a story.
Yeah.
But are we ready for a break, Redbone?
No, actually, got about 4 minutes.
We got 4 minutes. Okay, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll talk about that then. We got 4 minutes. Okay. What's the most turkeys you've ever seen in one group in here?
85 to 90.
Whoa.
And
they were, you know, the big bottom that had the wheat tins looked at, if you'd follow it back east up to that holler that fed up to the field on top.
Yeah.
I was riding a horse down that trail, and I could hear some commotion. And I stopped, looked up there, and started counting. And I mean to tell you, them things got up and started flying. It sounded like a helicopter taking off.
And I was lucky my horse stuck with me.
You're 73 years young.
Yeah.
Do you still get on your horse and just take a ride?
We were riding some young horses this morning.
Is that right? Yeah. You come riding by us down there?
No, we went up on the timber road so we wouldn't interfere. That's how we seen those two gobblers.
So you ride every day?
Well, we try to, but it's...
You can get on a horse. You act like a young guy.
Well, I'm slowing down a little bit.
Redbone's a horse guy, so is Wayne. They love horses. Wayne, ask him some questions, you and Redbone.
I'm starting to wonder if I should start asking some horse questions.
Yeah, I mean,
I hope I'm his age and can just hop up on a horse without having to have three people help me up on the saddle.
Well, it helps to have a mounting block.
Well, yeah. and I'm at a disadvantage anyway because of how short I am. So,
yeah, well, I'm about 10 years younger than Mr. Huff, and I sold my horses about 5 or 6 years ago. So, Just from the fact that it was just a chore to get on. I guess I didn't ride enough to keep those muscles working good.
Yeah. It's,
but what a way to scout for turkeys horses, yeah. From horse.
You know, I just had trail horses. They were fox trotters and just trail rode, you know, with them. And but now if you've got cutting horses, I mean, are you you're using quarter horses for cutting?
No, we've got a breed of Missouri fox trotters that'll work cattle. We won some competition with them. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I know Ava's the fox trotter capital of the world.
That's the world headquarters.
Yeah. I got a lot of friends come over there, and they show their horses at the world championships.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. There's nothing. I mean, if you want to trail a horse, I'm sure Mr. Huff will back this up. Get you a fox trotter. It's a much smoother. Oh, yeah. It's a much smoother ride.
They'll walk off and leave the quarter horses.
Yes.
And the guys on the quarter horses will go home, might be a little black and blue down under.
Yeah, they will bounce you all over the place.
I have a horse question, guys, if I may ask one.
Mm-hmm.
You ever go to Eminence Trail Rides, Cecil?
No, but we had several guests that come down from that, and we asked them, why you come down, couldn't have been up there. He said, that gets to be like the Wild West sometimes. Horses lose, people fighting, guns.
It's not always like that.
No.
But it's good people over there.
Oh, yeah. I knew the bulk of them would be, but I was a little bit surprised. But
they have some partying going on, for
sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Right,
that's an ingenious way that guy invented that business. I heard after he'd been open a few years, he called the bankers to come to a banquet, and he roasted them for turning him down.
Jim Smith did. He roasted them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
On business proposition.
And Jim's a good guy.
Yeah.
All right, we do need to take that break now, Alex. We'll be back with more American Roots Outdoors Radio with Alex Rutledge and his friends right after this.
Hey, folks. This is Richard Young with the Kentucky Headhunters down here in Southern Kentucky. You're just listen to American Roots Radio with Alex Rutledge right down here from Kentucky, but he's out yonder somewhere else. He's way out there. Y'all check it out.
Accurate, deadly, dependable, Hornady ammunition. From a two-man operation in 1949 to a world-leading innovator of bullet, ammunition, reloading tool, and accessories design and manufacturer today, Hornady, each piece is hand-inspected to ensure consistency and quality. Ammunition engineered to perform flawlessly, simply put, the best. Hornady ammunition. Find Hornady ammunition at a retailer near you and at Hornady.com.
Apex Ammunition presents. Welcome back to America Roots Outdoor, segment 4 of our show. Again, we are sitting in the beautiful county of Douglas County, Ava, Missouri, with owner Cecil Huff at his log cabin guest house. at Bucks and Beards Guest Ranch. We're talking turkey hunting. We're talking about his American roots, and we're just talking about his farm. He's wanting to sell it. And if anybody's interested in buying a cattle operation, there's lots of timber on this place, too. I'd hate to see somebody buy it to cut the timber, though. Man, I hate to see that. But if they select cut it, that's fine. If they're cutting, I don't support. Not unless they're going to turn it into pasture, which they have a right. But if somebody's interested in buying this place and they want to learn more about it, how can they learn more about this season?
Well, you can give me a call at 417-683-2381, or you can check with it's on the local real estate website. You can just put in land for sale in Beaver Creek, Douglas County, Missouri, Road A422.
And look for, you can also go to their website or Google Bucks and Spurs Guest Ranch, and it'll come up. They'll tell you about the information on it there as well. So, anybody interested, again, call Cecil Huff, 417-683-2381
is an alternate number to the 417-250-1300.
There you go. This place for sale. Back to Jack Whittle. Jack Whittle, we're going to wrap up. We got probably 5 minutes left here. I wanted you to talk about your hunt, to wrap it up here to Mr. Huff, what your experience was today starting out the morning. We got up at 3:45, left Birch Tree, Missouri, drove over here, so go from there.
And within, I bet you, half an hour, we saw a big old gobbler across the creek, across the river.
On a gravel bar, blown up,
and they were all chasing girls.
He's all pulled up in that sunlight.
Chasing the lady.
Two
of them looking at this lady. And
then the hen flies over.
Yeah, the hen flies over. And
got it all to him.
We talked to him a little bit, talked turkey to him, and all of a sudden he started strutting around, but it was a 45-yard shot. And being an excited guy that, you know, I have been hunting for turkey in 2 years, I got kind of excited and I didn't put my head down on the gun. And I missed that doggone bird turkey and he got away. But within about an hour later, we got another one and a big old turkey.
Not even that, probably 15 minutes. He went to gobbling. The same turkey he missed went to gobbling. But anyway.
And so we talked turkey to him for about an hour.
Yeah.
And tried to coax him into coming across the lake or the
river.
The river. But didn't ever get him across, but.
He liked that tube call, didn't he?
He liked the tube call. He would talk to it, you know, but
yeah,
he would thump or whatever they said, you know.
Gobble.
Alex talked to me about gobbling and thumping, and yeah. I don't know what thumping.
Drumming.
Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah. He was drumming. I said, I can't hear that drum. So
anyway, we go move from there. Cecil said, hey, I seen two gobblers up on by the gate.
We're riding horses.
Yeah. So there's two gobblers there. They went in the timber over there. So I said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to take him down to the river before we can do the radio show. And as we're driving down to the river, go through the gate, look around the curtain, there's two gobblers standing in the gravel road.
Just crossed the road, and he crossed the road into the woods. So we got out of the car, got out of the side-by-side and loaded up my shotgun.
Real quiet.
And Alex just...
He said we walked down everywhere they was at.
Called them in, and two little
yelps.
Calls, yelps, or whatever.
Gobbler checked me off, and here they was. Within 2 minutes, killed.
Just killed them. Big old.
How far did you draw them? He didn't. He gobbled probably 75 yards from us. It was that quick, and he killed him. And the other one stood there after he shot him, Redbone, Wayne. There's two of them.
Well, that's the advantage of missing a bird in the morning. It gives you a few more hours to go after and hear some more.
Yep. He had two beards on him.
Yeah, he's got a 10-inch beard and probably a 6-inch beard.
Oh, wow.
I bet he weighs
He's 23 plus.
23 plus.
Would you say Cecil?
Oh, I'd just say more like 26, 28.
He thinks he's that big. He may be bigger. You got any scales we can weigh him on?
This cattle scales.
They work.
Hey, if it's big enough for I say if it's big enough for a cattle scale.
Yeah.
What we can do is get his bathroom scales and hold the turkey. That way we'll weigh it.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Whittle, is this the biggest bird you've ever killed?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. By about 4 pounds, I think.
Wow.
I've got one question. Now, when you're deer hunting, you get excited, they call it buck acorns. What do they call it in turkey when you get excited?
What do you think of this 76-year young man and 73-year young man? They still got it, don't they?
Absolutely.
No doubt. I hope I'm that way too when I get that old. Push me in a wheelchair, but get me out there.
Don't call me old. I'm a young man.
That's true.
You called him old, Wayne.
Older than me, only by a few years.
I only got 2 brand new hips, so I'm good. You know,
he didn't tell me he had 2 new hips till he fell off the mountain back there into the creek.
A little heart surgery in November.
He didn't tell me that either. I asked if he had any ailment.
Well, he's the bionic man.
I'm glad I got him out here alive.
He's the bionic man, bionic turkey hunter.
Bionic man.
Yeah.
So what have you got to say? You ready? Anybody that wants to come and turkey hunt with me and Cecil here at Bucks and Spurs, what do you got to say?
Every bit worth it, every minute, and every time, just the nicest people ever. Thank you very much.
And what about those mushrooms you ate last night when the bird fished for you?
Oh, my goodness. Were they morel mushrooms? And they were delicious. They were just all fried up. And, boy, now I thought he was going to bring me some of them.
Now hold on. I got you something in the truck. You know what I got you? Huh? I got you 2 peach trees.
Oh, good.
But I do have some more mushrooms I'm going to bring you, too. So, guys, what a great time we've had here today. We're going to wrap it up here. We just got a little bit left here. I just want to say what an honor to hunt with you, Mr. Jack Whittle.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm glad you didn't miss the second one. And Mr. Cecil, thank you and Sonny for letting me come up here and hunt and bring these guys to entertain them. You are, it's more than just a turkey camp or hunting camp. We get to witness to people, too, about our faith. And I know you're a man of God. And give us a word real quick to somebody that may be listening about your faith, what they need to hear.
The Lord did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen. You give us a word now, brother.
Just, Lord, thank you so much for being able to hunt and enjoy the wonderful outdoors. And just so blessed to have this many years to live and enjoy life and just enjoy the wonderful world that you've given us, Lord.
Yeah. And we'll say, God, thank you for our good friend Kevin Weldon that introduced me to my new friend Jack Whittle. Kevin, you're listening. Thank you, buddy. It's been a great memory we've made together. God bless y'all. Remember this. The outdoors, God created it for all of us. He created the heavens and the earth. And share the outdoors with a child. Share it with somebody that's never been in the outdoors. It's God's creation. He tells us in Genesis, take dominion of all the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea and all living walking creatures. And that's what we're going to do. And remember this. Teach your boys to be men. Teach your girls to be ladies. And always remember.
When your roots run deep and strong,
there is no reason to fear the wind.
So you never gotta worry what the wind might do. American Roots.
Thank you for joining us for today's American Roots Outdoors Radio with Alex Rutledge. You can find us on Facebook. Look us up on the World Wide Web at AmericanRootsOutdoors.com. We'll be back again next week on this great radio station.
Take it to a holler, take it to a field, across a creek, up a big old hill.
Do you want to sell your land? Do you want to buy land, hunting land, farmland?
contact Legacy Farm and Land Specialists, LLC. Ryan McKinley, tell us about Legacy.
Legacy Farm and Land Specialists, LLC is based out of Poplar Bluff, Missouri. We service all the state of Missouri. We're opening up an office in Kentucky. Come and see us.
There you have it, folks. Legacy Land and Farm Specialists, LLC. Buy, sell, auction. Ryan McKinley, 573-683-1449.
In my old pair of hunting boots, passed on down, planted deep in the ground, around your heart, so you never got
a... Amped Outdoors presents, welcome back to American Roots Outdoors, our bonus segment. If you're listening to this, you are listening to it probably on your favorite podcast carrier. We do air in 19 countries, and our show today is... sharing the history of the Bucks and Spurs guest ranch and a story of a turkey hunt with Mr. Jack Whittle, my new friend that we fed mushrooms to and pressed Black Angus beef burgers last night. I wish that had been from Cecil Huff's farm, the guest ranch, but I ain't got none of that yet. I'll buy some from him. But we're joined with them right now, and we've done the full show. And I'm going to turn it over to Redbone and Wayne here. They got a lot of good questions for you, too. So, Wayne, Redbone, take over.
Yeah, you know, Jack, we left off the last segment. We were kind of joking around a little bit about your double hip replacement and that. And I do actually have a question on that for listeners that are out there that are, you know, maybe getting up there a little bit in age and they're, you know, not able to thinking to themselves, well, I just can't get out there and do the hunting like I want to or I used to do. Did you find that to be your thought process prior to your hip replacements? And if so, what difference did the hip replacements make in allowing you to do what you're doing today?
Oh, my goodness. It's just marvelous. It's just wonderful. But I ended up, my wife died on me about 6 years ago, and she flatlined. Her heart stopped talking. Her brain stopped talking to her heart, and she died in about an hour and hugging one of the grandkids. And I've remarried since then, and I've married a gal that's 12 years younger than me, and she's a physical therapist, and she's not going to let me get old. So she's helped me through these two hip surgeries. You got to get one about every year. You can't do it all at the same time.
Right.
But it's a lot of work. But you know, you keep your weight down and exercise every day, and you know, do a lot of muscle stuff and keep your belly down. It's wonderful. It's just
so wonderful. It changed your life. These hip replacements changed your life.
Oh yeah, keep me young.
What about you, Cecil? You had anything replaced?
No.
So, Jack, I mean, get back to turkey hunting. You said this was the fifth turkey that you have killed in your life. How long ago did you start hunting?
Oh, I've been hunting for 30 years, but I started with the Grisedick family hunting ducks, the Grisedick beer people. They taught me the thing, and I was shooting. I got myself a shotgun, a Browning shotgun pump was the first gun I got, and I shot it right-handed, and I always miss. And he missed today, too. So
I had to get you.
So I decided I needed to learn how to shoot left-handed because I had a dominant left eye.
Ah.
So I had Winnick make me a special stock left-handed, and I'm 6'5", so, you know, a normal shotgun just doesn't fit me left-handed. And I taught myself how to, went to the St. Louis Skeet and Trap, and I learned how to shoot skeet, and then I started shooting sporting clays and started shooting ducks, and I just fell in love with the hunting and target shooting. Shooting clay birds.
All right, so how long ago did you start hunting turkeys?
Oh, let me think. I think it was, maybe 15 years ago, I bet. I bet it was 15 years ago with Kevin Weldon. He took me for the first time.
Well, Kevin Blake Weldon.
Yeah.
Now watch out, that boy.
Jimmy.
You watch out, he'll write a song about you.
Oh, that's right. I think he has.
Okay. All right, so, I mean, did you hunt, I mean, the St. Louis area, mid-Missouri? Where did you start hunting, being from St. Louis? And then how did you end up, you know, in southern Missouri?
Well, I live in Missouri, but I hunted in Texas with Kevin, and then I went to Kansas to turkey hunting with Kevin, and then I bought a couple of hunts in Warrenton, Missouri, mm-hmm. and I hunted there. And then I liked to goose hunt. I did some goose hunting down in Oklahoma and go to North Dakota to shoot ducks and geese and just fell in love with bird hunting. I like bird hunting better than deer hunting because of the, you know, you get that big animal and that's so much work to take care of that and get rid of it where you can get a duck. Mm-hmm. Yeah, duck, you know, you can just breast them out and it's easier.
Sure.
But, so I let most of the deer go unless I get a big monster buck, and I'm still waiting for that monster buck right now.
You're going to come a deer hunt with me this year, maybe, huh?
I will.
Yeah, there
I
you
will
go.
Do that.
Lee loves letting the birds cook it.
Well, that's going to put too much weight back on his hips.
No. Yeah.
So, Cecil, talk about the deer on here. What's the numbers of deer like in here? They're everywhere. I'm seeing them everywhere. You got too many deer, probably.
Yeah. We've been having to thin them out because there is too many.
Yeah. Too many does.
Yeah. Yeah.
Guys, it's like coming into a game preserve in here, isn't it? Really, Jack?
Wow.
Really,
it is. It's unbelievably nice.
We've seen this past fall as many as 40 and 50 in a group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the boys that I sent up here to deer hunt said, Alex, the deer are thick. We said, there's too many deer.
Yeah.
They thought that they're fighting over the food. There's so many deer.
Yeah.
He said he thought that some of these bigger deer wasn't staying in here because they stayed on the edges away from the... Because there's so many deer.
They still know.
Yeah.
I don't know what we see.
But he said there's nice bucks they saw. They killed several bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. No giants, but nice bucks. Yeah.
Well, when you let your population get too big, it seems like the deer get a little smaller.
They do.
Yeah.
So, but if you don't take care of that this fall, if you haven't sold it, we can get rid of some of these does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd say anybody buys it, they'll probably sell deer hunts.
Yeah.
And turkey hunts.
No, God, turkey hunts and deer hunts.
Yeah.
It's a great place for somebody to create revenue with the honey on it, the fishing. And you could actually take and create a place to people to Airbnb and camp down there in privacy.
Yeah.
To create revenue.
Yeah.
Airbnb here and the cattle operation generate money. And so that cut some of this timber could help pay the note down.
Yeah, they call the timber mature timber patch.
Yeah. It's all mature timber, what I'm seeing, pretty much, the majority of it. Yeah.
You know, Alex, sounds like somebody needs to contact the Kelsey brothers. You know, they've been buying up property in southern Missouri. They might just be interested in something like that.
You know what? That's a good point.
Having to get a hold of me.
That's a good point. They have been buying a lot.
Yeah. Having to get a hold of me if they're listening or whatever, and I'll take them up here to meet Cecil.
That sounds like a good plan. And it's Cecil and Jack, thanks again for joining us. I know we're getting ready to wrap up the bonus segment here, and I know you got some more celebrating to do tonight over some dinner and some beverages. And
yeah, mentioning dinner, Jack, how do you like to prepare your turkey? Do you just like to chunk it up and deep fry it, or what do you do with your turkey meat?
Oh, I've fried it up before, or I make poppers out of it, you know. Mm-hmm. Put them on duck popper, you know. Wrap them in bacon and cream cheese.
And jalapeno.
Put them on the grill. And jalapeno. And put them on the grill.
Nice.
All right, there you go, everybody. Party at Jack's house.
I think she's going to melt this turkey, though, so what we may do is leave it whole and put it in a freezer in the bag. Because he's wanting to mount him. He's that pretty. I mean, no feathers out of place. He ain't lost no feathers. And his wings are really wore down from this strutting. Look at his wings.
Yeah.
Old turkey. I think the turkey's a 3-year-old, maybe older, but he's 23 pounds plus for sure.
Well, you know, you've been talking about the weight and the beard. How'd them spurs look?
The spurs ain't been about 3/4 inch long, it looks like.
Okay, so yeah, like you said, about a 3-year-old bird.
Didn't have a spur.
Yeah.
Yep.
But,
well, gentlemen, thank you so much for being on the show.
See, thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Appreciate you coming.
What's the number if people can contact you again? Say it slowly.
417-250-1300.
Jack Whittle, what do you want to say in closing here about your hunt to Mr. Huff and anybody's listening?
Well, thank you very much.
It's been my pleasure.
Mr. Kevin.
Guys, it's been good. We're going to wrap her up. Wayne, wrap, close her up.
And thanks, everybody, for listening to us on the podcast. And again, make sure you hit the like, subscribe, or follow button that you have on your favorite podcast carrier and tune in every week. And also check out our website for some of our Alex Rutledge custom signature turkey calls. If you want to get a turkey in, kid, guys, you cannot beat his calls.
Yeah, and be sure to support all the sponsors we have. Go to them and tell them we sent you there to support all of our sponsors, Wise Eye Technologies, Legacy Land, Farm Land Specialists, Eagle Seed, Hornady Ammunition, Apex Ammunition, and Amps Outdoors. And all of our local sponsors, thank you so much for supporting us. And guys, always remember, take somebody hunting.
Yeah.
Teach somebody about God's creation. Teach somebody about Jesus. And remember, teach your boys to be men. Teach your girls to be ladies. And Wayne?
When your roots run deep and strong,
there is no reason to fear the wind.
How many of you are tired of your batteries running out of energy, out of power? Let me tell you about Amped Outdoors. I've changed using the batteries I have had in the past. Amped Outdoors, I have the new 80 amp, 24 volt, single battery, weighs 46 pounds. This thing has produced energy all day long. Tested for 2 days, total use 11 hours. Cannot tell the batteries have even lost any energy. Go to Amped Outdoors if you want to be successful and not run out of power.